Hey guys, welcome back to the Rico Experience. Today we're talking about a play called A Streetcar Named Desire. Today we have a special guest in. He's one of my good friends. Please welcome Jello.
Hey, how's it going, Mark? I mean, such an honor to be in your podcast. How's it going?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm very well. I'm so excited to jump right into this. One of the best plays out there, to be honest, man.
Yes, A Streetcar Named Desire, one of the most famous plays.
I mean, Tennessee Williams is just a great writer. You know, let's just go right into it. You know, kind of small talks and all that. Let's get it.
First off, we'll talk about a description of one of the main characters in A Streetcar Named Desire. Today, we'll be talking mainly about Stanley Kowalski. So, throughout the story, we've seen many personality traits from many different characters.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we've seen how Stella treats her, treats Blanche, her own sister. We see Blanche on how she reacts towards the reality and how, and also how Mitch, how she reacts towards Blanche. And, you know, we're mainly talking about Stanley. Tell me about Stanley.
Yes, for sure. So Stanley, I mean, from the play, we could obviously tell that he's very aggressive.
Oh, yeah. Very.
Like,
very.
Stanley, like, aggressive. Like, he drinks a ton. He's basically kind of like an alcoholic in a way.
Yeah, and what really stands out about that, that character trait is scene three, right? When like, the poker scene, when he hit Stella, and then everything kind of, like, goes into place.
Yeah, everything kind of escalated.
Exactly.
Yeah, although there's quite a bit of personality traits. Exactly. I mean,
right.
He's also very sexual, as we can see.
That's for sure.
Towards Stella, his own wife, I mean, he says it, like, he heaves a package of meat at her.
Scene one, definitely. Like, just the beginning. At first, I didn't understand what it meant. I literally thought it was, like, a real package of meat, like, in terms of food, but
yeah, we found out.
But there's actually a deeper meaning in the context.
And yes.
It's really great.
And then
we were able
to see that when Stella moved in,
right,
that you could kind of feel a sexual feeling toward, like, yeah, between the two.
Yeah, especially like the way he treats Blanche and the way they flirted in scene two. It's already there. What else you can miss?
Yeah. I mean, there's still quite a bit. We have Stanley's pretty, like, well, not pretty. He's very dominant.
For
I mean,
sure.
He wants to be the dominant one in the household and just run everything.
He's the king of this household.
Sure.
He said, "This is my house. I work. I get the money. Therefore, I shall run it." And Stella has nothing to do with it.
And especially in that time, I mean, it was very, like, a stereotype that the man
right. It's very big. It's a very big stereotype up to this date.
Like, the man always had to be the person, the main person of the house. And
it has to be, like, the main guy, the main person who runs everything, and everything that whatever's going on around him should be under his control. That's what I see from Stanley, specifically for Stanley.
Yes.
So now we've seen his traits, his personality traits, whether it's direct or indirect from the play. Let's talk about his relationships with other people. Let's talk about how he's like to other characters in the play.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, first off, we could start with his own wife, Stella.
Yeah.
So from what we are able to see, Stanley and Stella have a very close, a very sexual,
yeah,
however,
definitely sexual,
yet abusive relationship.
Right.
Both mentally, physically, emotionally.
Yeah. We've definitely seen that on specifically scene three, if I'm not mistaken, right? What, like the poker scene, you know, he hits her, she runs away, Stanley cries, come after her, Stella, and then Stella just couldn't resist it. She had to come down back to Stanley. The next day they woke up the same bed, or rather Stella woke up on the bed.
Yeah, another relationship that Stanley has is with his sister-in-law Blanche. So
Right.
That's a very big one in the play. So we're able to tell kind of from the start that they don't have a really good relationship.
Yeah.
They aren't that close.
Never.
They're rude to each other.
I mean, specifically Stanley's towards Blanche, more likely. Like, he's more aggressive towards Blanche, like, I guess.
Yeah. Mostly. I mean, even throughout the play, I mean, there was the sexual force.
Yeah.
As we were able to see later on in the story that Stanley ended up raping her.
See, yeah, definitely, for sure.
I mean, that's a pretty big part of the relationship, because he did that so she was able to get out of the house, because right. he didn't want her living there.
Yeah, he definitely wanted her out there.
Yeah, so then he could go back to his ways with Stella.
Yeah, now let's talk about Mitch, his one yeah. good best friend, man.
I mean, never forget about Mitch. Stanley and Mitch were really close friends. I mean, they worked together.
They played poker together.
Yeah, they hung out exactly. quite a bit. However, whenever they talked about Blanche, it would seem like they hit like a personal spot.
He would definitely manipulate Stan. I mean, Stanley would definitely manipulate Mitch because of what he found out about Blanche. And that's when things kind of escalated between them two, the fights yeah. near the end of the scene.
That's kind of when the play kind of went sour.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's the relationships. We've talked about them. Now let's talk about the conflicts. What are the conflicts?
So, I mean, there's two main conflicts in this play. I agree. Maybe quite a bit more.
Yeah.
But the main ones are between... is just Blanche living with Stanley and Stella. I mean, that's a huge conflict.
Very huge, especially for a couple that wanted to start a family. But then, I guess Stanley finds Blanche as a roadblock.
Yeah, I could right? see that too.
Like, they just never click. They just literally bump into each other, man.
Yeah, I mean, Stanley faces this problem because it interferes with his personal and love life. Like,
it's basically his personal ambitions towards his family.
Let's yeah, say. I mean,
yeah,
it's just it creates tension between him and Stella.
Very big tensions.
They can't do what they want. They always got to be careful if Blanche is around.
Because definitely Blanche's room and their room is literally one wall apart. And there's yeah. a window on it. And there's a curtain and all that stuff.
I mean, it's even a problem because the two living together, I feel, created that sexual feeling even more.
Right.
Which led up to the raping.
Yeah, which was on scene 10 when Stanley forced himself towards Blanche.
And that I was mean, the this crazy kind, scene. This was... kind of ties into our next conflict. I mean,
yeah,
it's Stanley's drinking issues.
His drinking issues.
I oh, mean, wow. Stanley often turns to alcohol and drinks a lot of the time.
Yeah, they're quite similar, him and Blanche, but the difference is he's not afraid of expressing himself when it's drinking. Like he doesn't care. It's like, if I drink, I'm gonna drink, you know, it's none of your business. But Blanche is more of a, yeah, I'm gonna drink, but I don't want anyone to know, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like she's very secretive.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
if that's even a word.
Yeah, and Stanley also like makes him speak his mind and what he really thinks.
Oh yeah, he changes, thinks out loud. He
yeah it changes loud. The way he acts totally.
He's very focused towards reality and faces reality and slaps it across Blanche's face that this yeah. is what's really going on.
Yeah, I mean, this also leads into our last conflict. I mean, being an alcoholic, I mean, a lot of them are short-tempered.
Oh, yeah, for like, sure.
Stanley gets mad very fast in any sort of problem. It could be a big problem, a smaller one, maybe not even a problem at all.
Yeah, and small teases and name-callings tend them to like snap real quick.
Yeah, like for an example, I mean, you hear in this play, Blanche calls him a Polack many times.
He got very offensive.
And he gets very mad quick.
Very offensive.
Even as simple as Blanche just playing music in a different room while playing yeah. poker, he gets very mad and he breaks it.
He breaks, yeah,
and he
breaks
the radio. Quite a bit.
Right. That's very, I mean, that's a very good example of being
yeah, short-tempered. These like three conflicts Stanley faces,
and that also reflects on the second scene about the luggage, because when Blanche told Stella the fact that Belle Reve was gone, he thought that it was sold, so he really got too excited about the money. He thinks there's big money and all that stuff when he doesn't know yet the backstory in Blanche's
yeah,
life
from
where
truth.
She when she yeah. when she's been. But I mean, later on to the play, he finds out and kind of spilled the truth. All right, so now we've talked about his personality traits, his relationships in the play, his own problems and issues. Now let's move on to the theme, the theme of his play and how it's tied to Stanley. Talk me through them.
Yeah, so I mean, it's pretty basic. We have three themes that we feel connect to Stanley and his personal life, or just life in general.
Right.
I mean, one of the themes is revelation. I mean,
oh, for sure, for sure.
Like, Stanley was just able to reveal all of Blanche's secrets.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly.
This ended up leading to her main downfall.
Yeah, pretty much the biggest downfall in this book, literally, like, the tense, you know, like, in the book, you know, the tension is there. And also, it's the film, that, as we've seen it.
Yes,
in the film. Let's focus towards the novel itself. Anyways,
Yeah, so, I mean, another theme that we were able to see was cruelty. I mean, Stanley he manipulates others very well.
Yeah.
As we could see with Mitch.
For sure.
He was able to manipulate him, so then he wasn't in love
with Blanche. That's when he kind of went crazy towards Blanche.
Yeah. I mean, he plans everything that he wants to do. So, an example was that is when they got into a little argument,
mm-hmm.
and he told Blanche that Stella was having a baby, even though it wasn't supposed to be said yet.
It's supposed to be kept as a secret. And that also ties to cruelty. Well,
it kind of ties into, like, his attacks and the way he goes on with them. Like, we were able to see as, like...
Well, now I remember. It also ties to that...
That final attack.
That one scene where he told Stella, his own wife, about the dark secrets, as we say. The Blanche's dark secrets, which I believe was in scene 7. And at first she didn't believe, right? Stella couldn't believe it. I mean...
Her own sister. I mean, he also planned his attacks very well in the way that his final attack against Blanche was just merciless.
Merciless. Very merciless.
Like, he did so many bad things. Like, raped her and then basically sent her to a mental home.
Right. What else do you got? I know you got one more there.
Yeah, the last one that we were able to find out was primitive nature of men. I mean, Stanley's appeal is undeniable, as both we were able to see both Stella and Blanche are attracted to him.
Right.
Mainly sexually.
Would we say that Blanche is actually attractive? I mean, in some way, in the beginning.
Yes, in the
beginning. Because she actually admitted to her own sister that, I'm sorry, because I accidentally flirted with your husband.
Yeah, and that was obviously for sexual reasons.
Right, that's true.
I mean, we were able also to see that Stanley was very animalistic, as Blanche would say.
In terms of attitude, he's very animalistic, I'd say.
Yeah, as he's unable to control himself, which... was one of our points, as he's short-tempered. However, he never tries to change his behavior.
Right, right. I see what you're trying to say. Well, that will do for themes. Let's talk about what kind of archetypal character is Stanley. I mean, archetypes, as far as we know, are patterns in literature. And meaning primitive and models. It's a primitive model, basically what archetype means. Some background information. There we go.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Stanley is mainly seen as a villain or a bully.
I agree. I definitely agree.
Play. I mean, he's sexist, very dominant. Stanley is seen as these three characters.
Right.
Because throughout the play, he's consistently being abusive, rude. He's bullying.
You're right.
And an example of all of this is... like the we've said multiple times, the poker scene.
The poker scene. See?
Of him beating Stella.
Yeah, that was a big
scene. That shows a lot of
A lot of shows have imitated that scene, him calling Stella's name.
Yeah, I mean, Stanley is also sexist and dominant, like I've said, because he believes that the male is the main person in the relationship.
Like main gender that should rule.
Yeah, and he's supposed to take the lead on everything.
Very stereotypical.
And he usually always gets what he wants because he is the main person of the household.
That's true. And there's also that one part when Stella talked about how he's the only one that's going to succeed in work.
Yes.
And the one who'll be able to go somewhere. I believe what you said.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of connects us to our next point, which is how he... connects to a celebrity or movie
there's character definitely
in the real world.
I mean, there's definitely connections a lot.
First thought is Donald Trump.
that's very interesting.
Donald Trump. I mean, they're very similar. Right. They're both aggressive.
For sure.
Both abusive and both dominant.
Yeah, I mean, when we're talking about abusive, Stanley Well, they're both emotionally abusive, but Stanley's more physical.
Yes.
Physical abuse, as of Trump is more of a mental abuse. Poisons literally the Americans and take good advantage of them. Especially the weak. In the world. Especially the weak.
I mean, some of the ways that we're able, even just to see how he's aggressive, like the ways they relate to Trump is they always, both of them always take advantage of others.
Right, very manipulative.
So we see Stanley, how he manipulates Stella, Mitch, all those people. We're able to see that Trump is taking advantage of these new immigrants in the USA.
Right.
I mean,
we've seen that. I mean, we've seen
what he's done to those poor children.
Right.
They separate them from the parents.
Right. But let's step back to the play for a second. I mean, Stanley in a way, manipulates Blanche as a tragic hero, as far as we know.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially Mitch, you know, telling all the secrets they're not supposed to be told. You know, I mean, he could have done it in a different way, but you know, it also ended up in a kind of like in a fight. It went the wrong way.
Yeah, which that leads to the next point, which is both of them being kind of abusive.
Right, there we go.
And
good one. Good point.
During like the play and everything, just in the world, we're able to see that both of them are just constantly being mentally, physically.
For sure.
Not so much Trump physically, but emotionally too abusive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Donald Trump, like, we've seen his powers. We've seen what he could do.
I mean,
it's just abusive.
Very abusive. I mean,
there's no words for it.
He's basically the strongest leader that's out there, being known as United States as the most powerful
country. Yeah, and as we relate it back, he's kind of like the main person.
He's like I'm the guy, I'm the king, I run this whole
which that relates thing. Back to Stanley.
Yeah, which is they have the same mentality.
They have the same mentality quite a bit. I mean, dominance. Both of them want dominance in their life.
I mean, is there anything else you want to add on to the list?
I mean, some ways we could see the dominance, though, is both of them get what they want because of the power that they have.
Of course.
I mean, this relates to Stanley because they, like, Donald Trump just relates to Stanley.
Right. It's like, I mean, it's plain and simple. I mean, if you read the book, because you should be able to tell it by yourself by just looking at it. You know, look at the film, the book, reading the book, and just implying it.
They're very similar people. They both take advantage of others around them while being abusive many different ways and always wanting dominance. They always want to be the main person and the main man.
The big guy.
The big guy.
The big dog.
And there's no other way to put it.
Exactly.
On and on, I mean, it's just a great play. Tennessee Williams.
Lovely. It's a lovely.
He put together a great play. I mean, A Streetcar Named Desire, hands down one of the best plays I've read.
I mean, just like, I mean, obviously we've seen the characters and their personal issues. It's so easy to relate in today's world in 2018. It's so great. I mean, this book was written when? Like, late 40s, early 50s?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And it still relates to the world today.
I mean, a lot of change between those years. And you can still see the
similarities. Yeah, of
especially,
course.
Especially the stereotypes. It's still big up to this day. And
it's just crazy, honestly.
Very good book.
Well, sadly, we've run out of time.
I mean, thank you. Thank you for having me as your guest. It's really a pleasure.
Yes, thank you. And to you, all the fans, thank you for listening to The Rico Experience. We'll see you next time.